You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Introducing from Austin, Texas.
Return of Thumbtacks and Screwjobs. Yes, it's me, Richard.
And this is Gene.
Yes, we're like the red and meth of pro wrestling commentary. We don't do an awful lot, but when we do, it's not bad. It's pretty good, and people go, oh, they're back again. Actually, red and meth did something recently. Like, I was shocked.
New.
It only takes like 10 years, which is like our schedule.
Honestly, I'll take it over majority of hip-hop that's out now, but that's neither here nor there.
No, we are back. Yes, thank you as always for listening to Thumbtacks and Screwjobs. We will be back more regularly in the near future. Thank you for listening to everything at oneofus.net. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget, you can become a subscriber. That's one of the best ways that you can help us keep the site going. Please listen to all our other podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at oneofus.net. At OneOfUsNet. I always screw that up because I'm such
too.
A professional.
I've done it.
Such
too.
A professional. Follow us on Facebook. Like I said, become a subscriber. There's loads of really easy entry levels that give you access to all kinds of wonderful subscriber bonuses. It's really great and simple. Anyway, on with the wrestling.
Dum dum.
Dum dum. So, we're a week out from. Well, the second biggest weekend of the year in pro wrestling.
SummerSlam.
SummerSlam and NXT. Okay, first thought, which was the better show?
For the second year in a row, I'm going to have to go with NXT TakeOver.
Brooklyn just kills it.
Brooklyn, the fans, you can tell the energy level between Saturday night watching TakeOver, where we have, what, a two-hour show with some overrun versus... If you got there at the beginning of the pre-show, a six-hour show, and there were fans in the arena.
Oh, my God.
I personally,
the longest I've ever been to anything, I think, was 7 hours for a UFC, UFC on Fox Fight Night.
Okay.
But that was like... The undercard to the undercard to the undercard. Although, weirdly, one of the undercards actually won Fight of the Night awards. Because it was such a fight. But, yeah, you get part... Like, it's endemic in wrestling that everybody believes they've got to do a three-hour show minimum because Raw does that. SummerSlam was unendurable.
And I know the fans' pain. I went to WrestleMania in Dallas. And
yeah, but that was only a two-hour show once you found your seats.
And after standing in the heat for 2 hours...
Oh, God.
Then the error with the doors and all the other stuff, got seated by 4, show with the overrun, ran till about almost 10:30, 6.5 hours. That's the longest I've ever had
you
to
can't
sit at a wrestling
be
show.
Excited. I think the thing is, they're now comparing themselves to music festivals, and the thing is, music festivals never, even like the big ones, never used to start before 3 in the afternoon. Now they're all starting at 10. That's a problem for music festivals as well. These things are just getting out of control. It's like, you know, I know you want to give people value for money, but at a certain point you are killing matches because people are so tired. Well, let's talk briefly about NXT. Yet again, just stellar. I think the three best matches of the night were the belt matches.
Tag team, oh my gosh, that was one of the best tag team matches I've seen in years between Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano versus the
Revival. Johnny Wrestling. Oh my, the fact that everybody knows him is Johnny Wrestling.
Yes. And that was possibly the loudest Johnny Wrestling chant I've heard to date so far.
And the glory that is the Revival. The
best heel team possibly in the business. There's just so many feds right now that it's hard to say in all of pro wrestling, but I would say as far as anything under the WWE umbrella,
and
best
what's weird
heel
is
team.
Like, you know, really, until their American Alpha feud, they were those guys. But calling them the Revival, just the and letting them cut promos, particularly the best thing that happened to them was in the lead up to this feud.
Yeah.
The them backstage doing those promos with Ciampa and Gargano.
Yeah.
They were brilliant because you just go, these are just guys riffing, and they know how to riff. They all know how to talk. I mean, the only problem is, I think Tommaso, you know, I think Vince is going to look at it and go, this guy's a little bit old. My suspicion is he will stay down in NXT. And he will become a trainer just because of his look.
I believe
but
so.
But he's that good. Gargano, I think, you know...
Sky's
the limit for this guy. He's just phenomenal. That match was amazing. And it went forever. But not in a bad way.
But did not feel... I didn't get worn out from watching it. They kept the big spots to a minimum. There was actual ring psychology, which...
Well, I don't think anybody does ring psychology like the Revival, and I think that's my one worry about when they finally get called up, is that Raw and SmackDown are not places for ring psychology these days. Those guys do that so well, and my hope is that, you know, Paul's going to be able to protect them and go, yes, let these guys do what they do. Remember what, you know, what the Four Horsemen used to do? That's them.
And
that's the thing.
Which is weird because the main roster used to. The mindset used to be slow the match down,
tell a
story.
We'll get on to that.
Oh, good grief. But
Asuka Bailey. The other, yeah, which was so wonderful.
I don't think it was as good as some of their earlier confrontations, and I don't think it was as good as Bailey's match from last year.
No.
But this is how you tell a story.
Well, also, I think we all knew that this was her farewell match. And I think that for NXT.
Yes.
I think, you know, before she came in...
They
could I think
not
we were
keep
like,
her down in NXT any longer.
You can't keep her down in NXT any longer. You can't... You know, she's done everything she can there. And at that point, you're just starting... You know, I mean, I know that, you know, Dave Meltzer has constantly said, you know, if they keep her down there much longer, it's going to kill her heat.
Exactly.
But this was just the perfect goodbye for her. It was the sensible thing because this was the passing of the torch moment.
Asuka is... Take intensity of a Brock Lesnar or Goldberg. When is the last time they had a women's wrestler that had that kind of intensity?
Medusa.
How long ago was...
Medusa was probably the last one.
Mid-90s?
Yeah, I think if they have given Lita her head more, because when, you know, her and Trish Stratus, when they were really just allowed to concentrate on their matches, and still the great tragedy was that the one time they were allowed to headline Raw, Trish Stratus was still nursing a broken nose. So, like, you know, it wasn't as much, I think, as they wanted to be, but it was still a great match. But I think they could have been, but there's, like, you know, the fact you can... What was beautiful about that was that it was the goodbye to Bayley. So it was the goodbye to the Four Horsemen era. But now you're looking at it and going, well... The roster's actually really strong. You've got Asuka at the top. You've got a whole bunch of really good contenders. Billy Kay, I think the issue with her is just the character. They need to refine that. And then we had my second favorite debut of the evening.
Ember Moon!
A.K.A. Athena. Who I remember when she left Inspire Pro, which is the local Austin promotion. And...
Yes.
Like, the promo that Jessica James, who the WWE needs to hire Jessica James right now. I'm sorry.
I may be mistaken. Did she wrestle for Booker T's promotion?
She did.
In Houston for a little
while? She wrestled with Booker T. She wrestled with all the Darryl's promotions. I mean, she was arguably the hottest female free agent. And they got her before she became a megastar on the indies. But... She has all the pieces.
I've yet to see someone debut that had every piece of the puzzle of what it takes to make a star. The look, the presence.
You know what I loved about that as well?
What was that?
Her and Billie Kay, they both looked good in that match. She didn't come in and dominate Billie Kay. She didn't turn her into a jobber. She came in... And they both looked great. There were moments where
they both made each other look phenomenal.
Because there were moments where I'm like, this is going to be really weird booking because I think they've given Ember Moon one of the biggest pre-debut pushes I've seen in years.
At a takeover.
And she may lose. But like, yeah, we're smarky as fuck around here. We're like, that's who we are. And when I'm thinking, she may lose. you've done something really beautiful with that match. I was super, super impressed by the whole thing.
Ember Moon looked like a million bucks. Wow. I had the feeling that the finishing move was, the name was going to be changed. I was right. I doubt that they were going to let her keep the O face.
Yeah. And it's so beautiful. That is one of those things where you just go, you've just killed that person. Actually, it's really safe.
It's safe, but I still kind of clench my...
You're supposed to. That's why it's so perfect.
Watching it.
It's one of those ones you got to rewind and watch five times to work out how she does it.
It looks like it can go wrong at any time, but she hits it perfectly. Yeah.
We have to do the brief mention of the other debut. Glorious! Which is now the number one song in iTunes.
Wow.
Yes. And it was funny because everybody was going like, that theme tune is stupid. Bobby Roode can sell anything.
The thing is, I'm still at a point where I don't know whether I love it or hate it. I think it's great.
But you care.
I care, exactly. I think the issue is it's great, but I don't think it fits Bobby Roode. That I'm maybe in the minority. It's a great entrance. He's got great presence. It's like spaghetti and strawberry jam.
I don't know. I think it's WWE Bobby Roode. And I'm okay with that because this isn't TNA Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
I'm just glad he's there. Because there is nobody better. Like, Bobby Roode is for the last... Really, since Beer Money... has been one of the top five guys in the world. And that was always the amazing thing about TNA. AJ, and they had Bobby Roode, two of the best guys on the planet. At the same time, they had Samoa Joe. Now, WWE is going, okay, we really missed some of the best guys on the planet. I'm sorry, bring in Chris Daniels. I don't care if he's in NXT, just bring Chris Daniels, bring in Frankie Kazarian. I want them now. There is no...
If you brought them in, all the issues that have them in NXT for a few months, bring them up.
Yeah.
They, on the SmackDown roster?
Oh my god.
All of the issues I've been having with SmackDown's tag division, fixed.
And also still the greatest match I've ever seen live. Daniels versus AJ in 2005, I saw it in the UK. It was actually the last match I saw before I moved to the US. It was one of the greatest matches one of the greatest matches I've ever seen, and it was definitely the best match I've ever seen in life. Okay. Those guys just flawless. They're so good. And yes, Daniels is a bit older, but who cares? You've still got a good few years, and he's your next trainer.
Yes. And Bobby Roode, not getting any younger, so I'm glad they finally signed him. But he needs to. I'm not saying fast track him to the main roster, but I don't think you want to keep him in NXT too long.
Obviously he's going to be on the title track. So that at some point we've got Roode versus Nakamura. My suspicion is that Nakamura will drop the belt to him before he goes to the main roster, because if Nakamura is still here, Takeover Brooklyn 3, they don't know what they're doing. Oh my god, that match with Joe.
I've never seen someone, an American wrestler, sell the Kinshasa.
The Kinshasa.
So well. I legit thought his jaw was broken.
Yeah.
They stated later it was a work,
but
that, Joe put that move over like no one's business.
And got up again and had to take two. That was what was impressive. Again, NXT booking makes everyone look amazing. Nakamura is you know, this thing, I now look at the NXT roster, and it is sky's the limit for every single person they've got. And people were going like, oh, once you lose Baylor... Once you lose Bayley, once you lose X, Y, and Z, and they got to the main roster, then it looks gappy. The thing is, there's so many good talents. Holy crap! No Way Jose! I hope they don't Adam Rose even when they put him to the main roster, but that guy has got endless potential. Weirdly, also got Austin Aries over as a face. I'm not quite sure how he did that, but that was phenomenal work.
That baffled me, but I'm like, I'll allow it.
Okay, but the next day, we wander into SummerSlam. The pre-show, which I'm sorry, was like, what I hated about the pre-show was the fact that we had the entire SmackDown tag team division all thrown in the same match, doing nothing for any of them.
Nothing for any of them. Not only that, we saw that match the prior Tuesday.
We saw a slowed down
match, but
it was the same match. It was like,
this has been my problem with WWE. Why are you giving it the match you're doing at a pay-per-view event for free the week before?
Yeah.
Twice. They did that twice that night.
It was crazy. I don't know what they think they're
doing. And they're cramming. SmackDown's having this problem. They're just these big bloated tag matches where they're just throwing half the roster on there.
Holla holla. At least they're actual tag teams rather than actually just making tag teams. Although, that said, what the best new tag team, because clearly they don't know what they're doing with them, and it's going to lead to the, you know, just weirdness. The fact that Owens and Jericho
yeah,
are just such fun together.
And
Jericho is
they're putting each other over. The Todd Phillips has to do every one of their interviews from now on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, everything about them is working. You know, although now, weirdly, like, we got the perennial problem that Enzo's going to kill himself in the ring. That guy is a great talker. He's an okay mat wrestler.
He's a good seller. He's okay for billing the heat for the hot tag for Enzo, but
for Cass.
I'm sorry, for Cass, but
then Cass isn't that great either.
Neither one of them, I think.
They're the perfect example of Paul Heyman thinking. It's
hide their weaknesses, exploit their strengths.
Yeah, and that's what they do perfectly. Because Cass is good, but he's not great.
And Cass, he still occasionally has the deer in headlights when you put a microphone in front of him. But he's gotten a little better since going up to the main roster. He's not hesitating as much.
I think their live shows, I think when they went on the road, I think that did him a huge amount of good. Getting away from Full Sail actually really...
Sometimes it takes that. Same thing with, like, Braun Strowman. Like, his matches aren't great.
No.
But I can see improvement. I've seen improvement since the brand split, so...
But yeah, I mean, that was a solid, you know, those guys' matches. There was a moment where Jericho and Owens, actually, you could see them rolling their eyes because they go, yeah, Enzo just fucked up again. Enzo's going to kill himself. Just don't do it in our... That's the look now with those guys. Like, just don't do it in our ring. That's all we ask for.
We don't need.
Oh, my biggest complaint. What the hell is Sami Zayn doing on the pre-show? Do they just not? It's like they don't want he. You know what he is? He's the new CM Punk.
Yes.
They actively don't want him to be.
They
successful.
Don't want and.
Why you have a second entire Sami Zayn show?
14,000 seat arenas chanting his entrance music.
People are still doing LA.
Yeah.
For him. You know, in the way they never did for the Matadors.
And I feel Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon have a blanket fanning the flames of that heat, trying to quell it.
Yeah, I don't know what they think they're doing, but that was, you know. Okay, I'm going to ask you, what was your favorite match on SummerSlam?
What was expected to be my favorite match was Charlotte Sasha Banks. Not saying that they did not deliver, but I don't know. I'm going to have to go with AJ Cena, but even that match, I had problems, and a lot of people are getting upset with me because I'm not gassing it up as a match of the year candidate. We had about 2 minutes, or exaggeration, 5 minutes of strong wrestling, and then about 15 minutes of near falls.
Yeah.
That's
how they put those matches, though.
And a lot of people's like, well, those are most of AJ's matches. No, they're not.
No.
They're not.
Well, the thing is, they are in the WWE because they've made the phenomenal forearm rather than the Styles Clash into a finisher. Well, the thing is, the Styles Clash was the match ender in Japan.
Exactly.
I mean, it was to a certain degree when he was on the indies and when he was in TNA, but in Japan, that was the thing that killed you. Well, the thing is...
Literally.
Hey, look. Yoshitatsu didn't tuck his neck.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, Yoshitatsu tucked his neck.
And you're not supposed
pulled
to.
His neck back. Yeah. And that was... So, you know...
If you just...
And he said...
Let
him
do...
Up.
Let AJ do all the work. The move will go off fine.
It looked great. It this whole thing put AJ over like a $1 million.
Oh, Cena, that
finally
look.
Finally doing some character development with Cena.
And not only that, they told a story.
Yeah.
Toward, it was the last few minutes of the match after the there were way too many false finishes and way too many big spots with false finishes. But that look on Cena's face where the for 14 right, like, years everyone has this look when they have to fight Cena in a big match. Cena now got a taste of his own medicine where he cannot put AJ away. And that alone sold that whole match for me. That made it match of the night.
Yeah, the that second row of Avalanche
attitude adjustment
was just, and when AJ goes, AJ sells it but goes, you can't do that. That's not enough.
Yeah.
And you know, he just the whole thing. That's the thing. Cena, you know, everybody got mad at Big Match John, rightly so, because Big Match John was a real problem for the industry and killed more pushers than, you know, the cancer.
Rusev, Bray Wyatt. Oh, that's neither here nor there.
Well, and where was Bray Wyatt? Unacceptable. No signs of the Wyatt. Stupid. That was a great match. I gotta say, much as I love that match, much as I think it did a lot of good for SmackDown and a lot of good for Styles, I actually preferred Baylor Rollins. I think Baylor Rollins got overtaken by everybody being angry about the belt.
Let's save the two championship matches for the end, or what should have been the end instead of the match that did end the show.
Oh. But
Charlotte versus Sasha. They've both wrestled smarter matches. They're two of the most intelligent wrestlers, not just in WWE, but in professional wrestling today. Why were they going for so many rope spots and high spots in that match?
Yeah.
It felt unnecessary. Whoever was the agent, I blame the agent, the agent was for that match. Because this isn't like, you know, Ring of Honor ECW where, yeah, we got some ideas, but we trust you guys. Boom. Go on. The agents usually will break down the matches and...
My suspicion was that whoever the agent was went, okay, we know the match you guys do. We want you to do a different match this time around, and we all want to book something that gives a reason for Sasha being out for the next month. Well, bad timing, because everybody was convinced that it was a wellness violation.
Like, well, 33 days.
She's got a lot.
Yeah, I think.
Plus, didn't she just get married as well?
She just got married.
So I think they.
She was nursing several injuries. Wasn't it almost a situation where they had to force her to take time off?
I think so. And she clearly. That's the other thing. She wasn't at 100%. But, you know,
if she was near 100%. That move that Charlotte went, oh god.
Yeah.
She landed. Sasha landed so wrong. I cringed. Girlfriend's son, he cringed. It was just looked like a car wreck, man.
Yeah. No, it was not their best day. It was solid. It's still two of the best. And I've got to say, we talked about people improving when they got up to the main roster. When they first put the belt on Charlotte, I went, that's a mistake. She has consistently been the weakest of the four horsewomen. And I think she has improved in leaps and bounds, in spite of the world's worst progression of world's worst gimmicks. You know, being out there, being overshadowed by her dad. I don't care what anybody says. Rick being there overshadowed her,
and it hurt her. I completely agree. I don't think they should have ever put her.
Being landed with Dana, who I have no idea why she came up. Yeah.
She fits the Vince McMahon, Kevin Dunn.
The second worst female wrestler to have been brought up from NXT too early, which leads to like, God bless her. I love Carmella as you know the third part of the Staten Island.
The six person tag match.
She has no excuse to be this green at this point.
And they were having her. All right, let's go to that match. This was okay. Natalia.
Yeah.
Natalia, Alexa Bliss, and filling in the spot for the missing Eva Marie, who was out with wellness violations.
The original Eva Marie.
The original Eva Marie, Nikki Bella.
Oh my god.
Versus Oh, yeah, yeah. Becky Lynch, who, love her to death, but good God, the Ross, the creative has completely...
They don't have no clue what they're doing.
Crap the bed when it comes to her. And this is through no fault of Becky Lynch's. She is still a phenomenal athlete.
You know, I think she needs a heel turn.
I think it's overdue. She's been made to look like a complete geek.
Or she either needs a heel turn, or she needs to go full tweener and just be the killer in the women's division.
I agree.
Because they tried to make... In fact, the only way you can, at this point, that you can make Nikki Bella a face is by have her coming back and going, yeah, oh, no, like, I like you guys, and have Becky going, no, you think you put people on the shelf? You've been out for 6 months. I'm going to put you back where you should be, which is at home waiting for John Cena to ask you to marry him. And I'm going to end your career because I'm tired of you. And you turn Becky into the women's division Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
It's like heel, but you agree with them. That level of tweener. Not my
that,
Mario
that makes some of the best that, heels. You have that sliver of truth that just the gnaws gets, at the baby faces. Yeah.
And I think that's the way to put it. Instead, what we have is, you know, yet again, the SmackDown booking, throw everybody in a match and hope somebody looks decent.
It's been the case since the brand split. Yeah. I
the
was
only. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. The SmackDown, honestly, to me, has been much better than Raw. The first week, Raw was completely annihilated SmackDown as far as quality. But ever since then, Raw has... It's like same old stuff. And SmackDown, I'm seeing improvement. They need to chill with the spaghetti strand theory of just throw everything at the wall and see what sticks as far as booking. But as far as storylines, as far as the creative aspect, I feel it's been... leaps and bounds ahead of Raw.
Undoubtedly. I watched that match and I was just like, I don't know why this is happening.
Oh, who were her tag partners again? Becky's
Carmella
and
see how memorable this match was. Talk amongst yourselves, audience. We'll remember in a moment. Carmella, who I just, she's not getting any better. She just needs to, they just need to admit that she just needs to be a manager. She is not going to improve. She's not had any signs of improvement. I think she's going backwards. Everything was sloppy. You know, and I think that's just a coordination issue. I don't think she's going to get better. And I want her to get better. I want her to, you know, I mean, I've seen people who I thought are never going to improve suddenly go ahead in leaps and bounds. I don't see the mechanics of that for her because everything about her is like, it's like watching a Muppet run and it's not going to get any more accurate. Yeah. And I'm just, oh God, I wish it did. I just wish she got better.
I don't know what to make of that match. I don't know what to make of...
Got to say, Alexa Bliss...
Oh, I'm sorry, Naomi.
Well, because they're trying to build up a Naomi Eva Marie feud, which now Eva Marie has managed to kill stone dead. Thank you, good work.
Naomi, very athletic worker. I think an extended program with Natalia that ran 3 to 4 months may do more for her. They're divas. They're women's wrestlers. Then they're the divas that there's something there to mold them into women's wrestlers. And that's what I see with Naomi. She's improved by leaps and bounds since starting.
She's no Cameron.
Exactly.
Well, I actually think Naomi needs to go down to NXT.
Yeah.
Send her down to NXT. I mean, nobody's buying tickets
that's
on the basis.
Town.
Yeah. Nobody's buying tickets on the to go see Naomi.
Exactly.
You aren't selling Naomi t-shirts. What's the benefit of having her up on the main roster?
Especially with the person she was feuding with now gone for a month.
Because the best thing that happened to Emma was when they sent her back down to NXT.
Exactly. She completely reinvented herself.
Yeah. So, yeah, but...
but
that... we want to get into the world's weirdest double booking before we talk about the title bouts. The weirdest... Okay. Why do you finish... your second biggest pay-per-view with two successive screwy endings
Rusev, WWE?
Rusev Reigns, which was just a mess and killed whatever heat was left in the building.
I don't think it completely killed it. I see what they were attempting to do. This was to make Roman look like a complete monster, which is what my biggest problem since this experiment started 31 months ago. Stop booking Roman like John Cena 2.0.
Yeah.
Start booking him like Brock Lesnar 2.0. He's over. They booked him that way the past 2 months. Less and less boos from the crowd.
Less and less boos, but they've done that at the expense of one of their other monsters.
Well, Rusev... I don't know if I agree, because I feel that Rusev was the only legit heel on the roster.
Yeah.
That, and because of that, he can get... It's like, are we really going to cheer for Rusev? Like, he's going full-on anti-America... Everything, he's forcing you to boo him, so you kind of have to cheer for Roman Reigns.
Well, but the problem is, you know, if you get past the anti-American thing, you know what Rusev is an amazing athlete,
yes,
who's really proud of his country, yep, and protective of his wife.
Exactly.
He's a face. Booked him as a face for years and years and years. If he was American, he would be the biggest face on the roster. So the problem is, internationally, that makes him, you know, a lot of people are going like, you know, if you're playing in a market which does not automatically do USA, USA chant, which is the rest of the world, Rusev's your face, and well, Reigns is just this dick who threw his wife into a cake.
Well, I don't know. He has cut some scathing promos the past few months. I think he's improved as far as his mic skills, although his accent is really, really, really cutting in and out now.
Oh, yeah.
During extended... Anything longer than 2 minutes on the mic, you hear it kind of...
Yeah. It's like when Kofi suddenly forgot that he was supposed to be from Jamaica.
Or which was Triple H call out.
No, it was John Cena. Because they were supposed to go into... It was some ridiculous tag team match, and it was way back in the dim, distant mist. And, Kofi Kingston just delivers a line, and Cena just goes like, "What happened to your accent?" And Kofi just goes, "I'm so worried about this, I don't have time to do that." And I'm like,
"See, I thought Triple H made a joke about that on an episode of Raw."
He may have done, but the original thing when it first happened, it was like they did a backstage cutaway, and it was like Cena just went, "What happened to your accent?" and I think Kingston just went, "Damn, that's done now, isn't it?" Because unless he'd have actually started, like...
Wow, Cena buried someone else again, and it wasn't even in the match.
The only way he could have recovered that would have actually been by, you know, pulling out a bottle of Red Stripe or something. That was the only way he could have reestablished.
Well, the Reigns-Rusev thing, I honestly feel they should have flipped it. Had the match at the pay-per-view, but had that Reigns going over monster on Rusev on the Raw beforehand. Someone got their wires crossed.
I don't know what they thought they were booking, but then one of the worst booked endings to...
Are we getting to the Intercontinental title match now?
Oh, no, let's do the IC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's do the IC. Let's talk about the IC.
Oof. The Miz and Apollo Crews.
Why? Why did this happen?
Why did Apollo Crews get a title shot this fast? Well, I mean, we all know why, the physique, but not to take away, great athlete. I'm still on the fence of, you know, him being brought up so soon from NXT, but
he needed to be given another at least six months. And probably a title run.
Or at the Survivor Series. Survivor Series should have been when he was brought up.
Yeah.
That way you could fill up the rosters for those crazy 5-on-5 tag matches. But this match, it was a standard SmackDown match. And honestly...
Which is a high achievement for The Miz.
But honestly, that feels like Miz's entire title run.
It feels like Miz's entire career.
And I get so much crap for people because I don't appreciate him for being a top heel that doesn't have to put on stunt matches to get over. But you have to at least put on a decent match.
This is the thing, you know, the best of The Miz is a disc of promos. The Best of the Miz is not a match disc. He's never had a match that you look back on and go, that was really good. Or that you cared about. His promos are decent.
I think he'll be a great announcer one day. He needs a little bit of work on that. Or he could be a great manager. He would be one of the best managers of the modern era.
I thought that was what they were going to do, was they were going to turn him into... When he came back this time, I thought they were going to turn him into a manager. Give him some young punks who really need somebody out front doing the work for them. He could be great.
Honestly, that would... I had an idea. Revamp the Ascension.
Yeah.
Turn them into, like, Hollywood, like, pretty boy stuntmen type dudes. Have the Miz as their leader.
Yeah. That would be perfect. That's a great idea. That is absolutely perfect.
Oh, another idea that seems better than what WWE they're actually doing. Is turning anything. Up.
Yeah, SmackDown's booking is just abysmal. But, yeah, you've got Apollo Crews who, you know... I still think Uha Nation is having trouble becoming Apollo Crews.
Yeah.
That's really clear. And you put him with a guy who doesn't know how to get the best out of other people. Get the best out of him.
And the thing is, he can get the best out of other people during a promo.
Yeah.
Not at a pay-per-view during a match. And... And Swampy, especially when you had no build to this. When did the build for this start? A week ago?
Oh, the build for this actually started during a promo they recorded during an ad break.
Yes, during a commercial.
Because I was at that show and it's like, this seems weird. And the basis of their feud and Apollo Crews getting a shot at the title is that The Miz can't remember his name. Really, that's all you've got.
That felt slapped together.
Oh my god, it was terrible.
In the truck came up with the idea and boom.
In the building, we were all just like, what on earth is this? This is terrible. Stop calling him Apollo Creed. No one cares.
But anyway, Miz returned to title. I know what happened.
Vince finally watched Creed on the way to the taping and went, hey, I've got an idea. Or went, I've worked out what you're doing. Oh, that's clever. Let's just have him do that name. That's fun.
So people that criticize CM Punk for saying Vince McMahon was out of touch with what the fans want in, when was it, 2011? But now 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got criticized for that, though.
It was completely true. Always true.
All right. We discussed AJ and Cena, which... Match of the night, I still had my problems with it, but...
Imperfect, but...
It did its job of getting AJ monster over.
Yeah.
All right. Machine Gun Carl Anderson. Well, am I still allowed to say Machine Gun Carl Anderson?
He will always be Machine... For me, it's always Machine Gun K.A. Luke Gallows.
Versus The New Day for the Tag Team Championship.
John Stewart turned up because they like him. There was John Stewart, who, by the way, did a face turn since last time. Weird. There was no reason to keep those belts on the New Day this time around. No reason whatsoever.
They don't need them. The New Day, I will say, they made those tag belts important again. They're past them. They don't need the belts. You gotta put... When you have someone coming in with the pedigree of these two guys dominating in New Japan Pro Wrestling, you got to put gold on them fast.
Well, also, why particularly are they... I mean, they're booking Carl Anderson. They're booking him like Enzo.
Yeah,
like he can't win. No. But he needs the hot tag to Gallows. Carl Anderson,
we knew that was going to happen the moment they got here. The big guy has to get the hot tag. The big guy has to get the pin.
And the crazy thing was, you actually look at their matches in New Japan. What really happens is that Carl Anderson wins the match. And then Doc Gallows comes in and kills you for 10 minutes after the bell has rung.
Yes.
Which was the genius of the Bullet Club.
But this has been Vince McMahon 101 with Crime Time.
Okay.
With Sylvester Turkai and Elijah Burke with Enzo and Cass. That's been going on for the last four
congratulations
months?
On being the only person that has mentioned Sylvester Turkai in the past, in this decade.
What do I win?
You win the knowledge that you remember who Sylvester Turkai is and you have to go and watch some of his matches.
Oh.
It's funny, I looked at I recently saw a picture of the roster kind of circa 2006 and I legitimately could not work out who half these people were.
During the new ECW era.
I was looking at them and going, like, I don't know who you are.
Vince was the same way, except for, who's that guy? Bobby Lashley.
Blaster Lashley.
Bring him up. No disrespect, because Bobby Lashley is a freaking phenomenal performer, and his mic skills have improved by leaps and bounds over the past 2 years. They brought him up too early in WWE, and he could have been Brock Lesnar level over.
Yeah.
Had they just left him in developmental, but Vince sees muscles and off to the races.
Well, apparently, like the story is that at NXT they kept deliberately hiding Cass from him every time he came down. Yeah. They put Cass in a room and just like you were not allowed to go out there.
Didn't Jim Cornette say they did that with Lesnar and OVW?
Yeah.
They were trying to keep him a secret as long as possible.
Yeah. So, I mean, that match, it didn't go anywhere. It didn't put anybody over. It did nothing.
It had a silly premise in the first place, so you had no real tension.
Well, and also, why did Big E drink his own testicular formaldehyde? That seemed baffling. That seemed
honestly,
like a bad choice.
I if they were going for humor, I would have taken the egg. Put it in his trunks, be like, much better now. And then just ended it.
Just accept the weirdness. Just accept that you've gone down a dark place with this premise. I don't know what they thought they were doing. I don't know who they think this gets over. I don't know where either of them goes now. The only way for you to go at this point is, you know, Cass and Enzo take the titles.
You know they're going to put him on them because they're the new age outlaws, I think.
You know, then you've got a face versus face. I mean, honestly, I think New Day are done. I think they're going to break New Day up.
I don't think it's going to happen yet. I think it's going to be a slow burn. I think WrestleMania maybe, or Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
I think that's the perfect place because maybe one of them eliminates the other, and then you take that and let that simmer for 3 months.
I think the thing is that Kofi has got to be nearing the end of his
career,
top level run.
Yeah,
he's made really good money. He's
the highest he's ever going to get in the company.
He's not because he's not young either.
No,
he's been around forever.
When did he debut? 2006, 2007.
Yeah, he's been around for a while before that. But he's not. He's because I was surprised he was old. He's as old as he is. You know, I'm worried. Xavier
Woods is going to get lost in the shuffle.
But Big E, like,
you know,
he has
time a job.
For a monster push.
He's got a job. His physique alone guarantees he's got a job for a long
time.
He's
got to stop doing those suicide dives because that's going to kill him.
I think he's learned his lesson. I'm hoping he's learned his lesson.
Yeah, that guy just never needs to be airborne. Whoever is letting him do that and doesn't take him to one side and go, you need to stop that, is doing him no favors and he's taking years off his life. Because he can launch well, but he never lands
well at all.
And you look at everybody, particularly because people say, oh, well, you know, Undertaker used to do airborne. Taker went over the top rope. So while he's higher and he's still a big lad,
he has time
you've got
to
more
adjust.
Time for the other guy to get in the right position for him to adjust. Big E doing that.
Like a missile.
Daniel Bryan, through the second and third rope, suicide dive. This guy's, 290? You've got nowhere to go. And
not everyone can, like, catch you when you're at that kind of weight to be able to guide you in safely.
So the number of times that he's gone into the barricade and I've looked at his neck and gone, that's broken. He just needs to stop that before he does a Brock Lesnar lawn dart. There was one of those. I can't remember who did that, but somebody basically did the lawn dart this time, and I'm like,
wasn't that an NXT? No, I'm sorry.
I can't remember who that was, but somebody did a
Gargano. Wasn't it Gargano?
Yeah, it was actually. But he at least actually got something up. He didn't just like square on his head like a moron. Right.
We get to these three main events: Dolph Ziggler versus Dean Ambrose.
You know. A lot of people have a lot of issues with this. It was okay.
The match wasn't horrible. The match was not horrible.
Buried so far down the card that it was
exactly.
Like,
both title matches, honestly, I felt were buried so far down that they didn't feel important, especially this one. This was four more matches after this.
Well, and the big problem was this was something that needed more build-up, because I think they're going somewhere interesting with Ziggler.
I was hoping a heel turn at this point, but because you've made him look like a geek, and then he loses after saying all this stuff, I think heel turn is the only place you can go at this point.
I don't know if heel turn, but I think definitely a character rebuild. That he, you know, this has to be his
new entrance music.
Has to be Shawn Michaels loses his smile moment.
Yeah.
This has to be him going, I have to be serious about this. I've got to come out there and be the killer. And the whole idea of him being the guy that stole the show, but that never meant anything.
Yeah,
that's a really, really good way for him to go, and it actually builds on the reality.
And
the thing is, it shouldn't have been for the heavyweight title. It should have been for the IC. He needs the IC.
Yeah, agreed. Him and Miz kind of being friends backstage. You could even play on that. You could do a double turn. You could do a double turn if you wanted to, but they seem hell-bent on keeping Miz heel, even though he has mainly go-away heat.
Yeah.
But Ziggler, I found the feud kind of laughable. No disrespect to Dean Ambrose. Great performer. I don't buy a lot of fans. Wins and losses don't mean anything in the modern WWE. Bull crap.
Yeah, they do.
I'm sorry. Dean Ambrose losing so many matches over the course of 2015. I don't take him seriously. He feels like a placeholder champion right now. And for him to have said all he said to Ziggler made me laugh during every one of those promos. I'm like, kettle.
He needs a good, solid feud with somebody that's going to really push him over, and you can't do that with two guys that you've basically held in the mid card.
Yeah,
it makes the SmackDown belt feel like a mid card.
A mid card belt, exactly. Their treatment of Ziggler over the past 6-7 years. But the match itself was decent enough. We all knew what the outcome was going to be. So
yeah, my suspicion. I was actually afraid they were going to put it on Ziggler. But it's a sign at least they've got enough faith in Dean to keep him there for a while longer and give him a chance at like a feud that actually counts or something.
Exactly. All right, we'll get to the next match. Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins.
My favorite match of the night.
Universal Championship. Really good match. I think some of the aura of the match was killed when they had that altercation Monday on Raw.
Yeah.
I really felt it.
Shouldn't have brought him out in the demon makeup. That was stupid.
Honestly, I was fine with it. Don't have a physical confrontation. Have him come out with it. Have Seth Rollins jump the barricade and haul ass out of the arena. End it like that. That you've officially... Anyone who didn't know who Finn Balor was, who didn't watch NXT, who doesn't know Prince Devitt...
Yeah, that's fine.
He's now officially over. Why did they have them actually brawl on Raw beforehand?
Didn't make any sense.
Made no sense. But the match itself... It had not as many high spots as I thought it was going to have, because given who these two guys are, but the spots, the buckle bomb. Can we ban this move?
He needs to stop doing that.
And the thing is, the move is done by many wrestlers and many promotions. You don't see this many injuries.
I think it's because he's so big, because he's bigger than he looks. Seth's really tall.
The problem he does is because he's surrounded by Vince McMahon, Kevin Dunn, prototype wrestler, so he doesn't look big, but he is, He is big. And the guy getting hit with the move can't control. That's not a move you can control.
And also, he tends to throw them from so far away as well.
Yeah.
So he's really putting them out, so they're just ragdolling.
That's why Sting hit that top of the post.
The other problem is he's not very accurate with it. Agreed. Nobody lands...
Like, where they're supposed to.
Yeah. Even before we all knew that he'd fucked up Finn, I looked at that and went, something's not right. When he landed, I was like...
I must have blinked the shoulder.
Apparently, and this is how tough Finn is, dislocated it.
Yes.
He reset it himself.
I must have missed it. I'll need to watch the show again.
It looked wrong.
I saw the impact of the... the break. I didn't see him resetting it. That had to be brutal.
He is one tough little man.
I had to reset my knee one time. It got dislocated on a dance floor at a club.
Oh.
And no one was going to help. No one helped me up. So I'm like, okay, man up. Still the worst pain I've ever had in my entire life.
I'm done. We're good. But yeah, I just watched that and was like, nothing about this is good.
The fact that Finn finished the match and kept going.
And didn't just run to the end of the line. That makes him, you know, one of the toughest guys they've got. I mean,
that's 1 month on the... Wait.
That's Bob Holly level tough.
Wait, how many months on the main roster? One?
Less than a month.
So... if he doesn't come back in and immediately go back into the title picture, something's wrong with creative and booking.
Yeah.
He's earned.
Well, he's out 4 to 6.
Well,
which is the bad sign, but, you know.
Well, he'll be back for Mania. He'll be back right after the Rumble.
Yeah.
Possibly. Or, yeah.
If he's back early enough, repairs early enough, he may be back for the Rumble.
Vignettes need to start running the night of the Rumble for his return.
And you put him straight into a feud with Rollins. You have him kill Rollins.
Exactly.
And you have him straight back on the title.
But despite the injury, still a solid match. Rollins put his all. Balor put his all. I gotta say, if it wasn't for the injury and... I don't know. Something fell off about the last 4 or 5 minutes of the match. It rebounded during the last minute of it. I could say maybe it's close to tied with Styles Cena.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
I think it just had a slight edge on that. I like Styles Cena a lot. I mean, they were two great matches. I think it's just more my style of match.
Exactly.
It's slightly more what I want to see from it.
Shall we get to this main event?
What the hell were they thinking?
I'll go into it right now. The Brock Lesnar versus Randy Orton. The internet was a buzz. Everyone thinking Brock's going into business for himself. Open up Randy Orton. Pool of blood in the ring. Apparently it was a work. It was such a good work that even some of the guys on the roster didn't know.
It was such a good work that Chris Jericho almost was about to go and kill
Brock Lesnar.
I still say one day what Jim Cornette said is going to happen. The famous Jim Cornette story where...
The gun.
Yeah, where you know, Lesnar came back after having basically gone to business with himself with Cornette's wife during a match, and basically she just got pierced, and during his military press spot, he squeezed her right on the piercing, he came backstage, and Cornette went, "Motherfucker, you do something like that again? You can't tell somebody all day you're going to do something and then do it and say it was an accident, because they're not going to believe you, and more importantly, all that's going to happen." Is they're going to shoot you? And Lesnar's like, what? So like, yeah, you're going to be in some Fed locker room somewhere. Somebody's going to go to the back. You're going to piss somebody off. They're going to go to their car. And they're going to shoot you. And you don't kip up from a 45 to the head. And that's going to happen to Lesnar one day. He's going to come across somebody meaner or smarter than him. And they're going to go into business by themselves. And, if he messes with Nakamura when Nakamura comes up, Nakamura's just going to break his jaw.
And, I mean, I'm a big MMA fan, but you got a lot of these UFC fans like, well, they ain't going to do nothing. Lesnar's legit. Yeah, let him try to put a Kimura lock on a crowbar to the back of the head.
Yeah.
Okay, or a gun, or bat.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to happen.
And this has happened in many wrestling promotions, okay?
And there's always somebody tougher.
Always.
There's you know, somewhere out there, there is a new Dr. Death or a new, and you know, we never like saying these words, but a new Chris Benoit. Somebody who's going to go, oh, you're going to try and shoot on me? Or, you know, somebody who's going to put him in a move and just snap his ankle. And he's gonna limp out of there because he's gonna go to town on the wrong person.
Yeah.
And the thing is, from what I can tell from all the reports about this,
apparently
This was a full work,
but wasn't told to Orton until the morning of the actual
event.
It's a
stupid work. What was the upside of this? They're on different brands, so you can't continue the feud.
They wanted to. I mean, I understand wanting to blur the lines of reality. It would have.
But then it doesn't get blurred the instant that Shane comes out and takes an F5, because if you know, at that point all you have is a bunch of guys with stun guns coming out tasering Lesnar and jagging him away. This is the moment where if you wanted to get him over as the legitimate, completely out of control badass, you go and you find the same jobbers that you hired to pull Stone Cold away from Vince McMahon dressed as cops. That's how you do this. Otherwise, he's just
it goes back
doofus.
To storyline land when he went with Shane getting F5.
Feels stupid. And then you've got no playoff either on SmackDown or Raw.
They seem to just be going about business as usual.
This is the problem. It's exactly the same thing that happened when Shane lost his match with The Undertaker and still got to become GM. It's like, well, what was the point? What's the payoff here? There isn't any. You guys have done nothing to improve your storyline.
And it was too soon to go to a cross-brand angle anyway. We just did the brand split.
No sense, no payoff, no nothing. And my suspicion is that they've reached the end of Lesnar's allocated dates for the year.
Oh, yeah.
And that we're not going to see him again. And this was a dumb way. You don't blow off...
Your star attraction.
You don't castrate Orton when he's barely back in the building by having, you know, lying on the floor, you know, just getting pummeled.
Especially when Orton has limited dates, not as limited as Lesnar's, but it's like, isn't it similar to the Cena contract where he's only, it's not fully part-time, but it's semi-part-time.
I don't know what they thought the upside was.
Cut the legs off from any Orton potential Orton push. Brock has nothing to do now.
Unless they're going to, the only way to have it is a rematch at maybe Hell in a Cell.
Another cross brand.
Have that as the only Hell in a Cell match. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Unless this is a way to set up what a lot of people have been saying, which is do a quick swap and have Orton go over to Raw and finish up the current angles with and actually have Jericho and Owens go over as a pair to SmackDown and give them what they need.
And we I'm down for some trades to occur.
Yeah.
Please send Cesaro to SmackDown.
Send Cesaro to SmackDown and put him straight in the title main event.
And either Owens or Zayn, one of the two, need to go.
Zayn.
There was no point in ending the feud, blow off match, and then have them both on the same show.
You know what you do? You send Owen. You either send Owens and Jericho, or you send Zayn and Neville.
I don't think they'll send Jericho because one of the big things that apparently a buzz is they don't want him and Miz are so similar they don't want him on the same show because it feels like they're doing the same stuff. But I don't see Jericho leave, and they need some locker room generals on Raw. That the roster is pretty youthful, so
I think in which case send Zayn, do an exchange and send Zayn and have Orton go. I want to go, and they say, well, whoa, you're one of our main guys. We want something really good in return, and you send Orton, you send Neville and Zayn over as a pair, and have them boost up the SmackDown roster. Have them actually be the first SmackDown. Tag champs.
Or you send Owens to SmackDown because he has a similar ring style to someone. Say SmackDown has a potential someone they're bringing up from NXT. They trade that trade to Raw.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
That way now you have Samoa Joe as monster running stuff on Raw. And once Balor's healthy, renew that feud.
And also it leads to what, the match that they've, you're talking about, somewhere out there, there's always a bigger killer.
Samoa Joe Lesnar at Mania. And it won't have to be another cross-brand.
More importantly, because if Lesnar does decide he's going to go into business for himself,
Joe will kill him. Joe's going to kill you. Is not just for shits and giggles.
It's not kidding. That is legitimately like I will go in there and I will mutilate you because there is few people tougher, and also the hilarity of what because inevitably they're going to have to book. Exactly. Joe Reigns. Oh. Joe just coming in and going, oh no, this is what a monster Samoan looks like, sunshine. Anyway.
that's going to be a wrap for...
That's it.
This edition of Thumbtacks and Screwjobs.
Good to see you as always. Thank you again for listening. We will be back soon.
Yes, and if you want to follow us...
You can follow my good compadre here over at
Smart Country at oneofus.net. And also at the Scrum Sports, covering pro wrestling 24/7.
And you can follow me all over at oneofus.net. I'm taking a brief hiatus from Digital Noise over the summer, not least because my house at the moment smells of paint, because I'm redecorating everything, and it's been great fun. But you can also follow me pretty constantly over at the Austin Chronicle at austinchronicle.com, where I cover pretty much everything. Okay, well, thanks very much, and we will see you soon. Ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.